Lord, you know, I hate to see folk walk around with crosses. I don't mind folks walking around with crosses.
Yeah.
But I get offended when I see a cross and they still got somebody on it.
Yeah. Hey.
Can I remind you that he's not there? Amen. He's not on that cross anymore. Praise God. He's gotten up, praise God, from that cross. He is no longer dead. But we see, praise God, that him crying out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Praise God. That was a forced endurance. He had to go to the cross. He was compelled to go to the cross. It was compulsory that he goes to the cross, praise God, amen, and die for our sin. But my second point, praise God, is not even less than that. It says that Jesus had to bear the burden of a forgiveless sin. I want y'all to catch that. Amen. He had to bear the burden of a forgiveless sin. Turn to your neighbor and say, now, neighbor, he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because he had to bear the burden of a forgiveless sin. Amen. You see, the price of sin had to be paid with a death. Amen. We know that because if we look at Romans, the 6th chapter and verse 23, it says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Praise God. And we say that Jesus had to bear the burden of a forgiveless sin. I say that because Jesus could not be forgiven. Can I run that by you again?
Yeah.
Amen. See, Jesus could not be forgiven. You and I could.
You have been blessed by the Second Union Baptist Church, 6436 Old Baton Rouge Highway, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71302. They will be glad to hear from you. If you'd like to contact them, you may contact them at 318-445-4875. Tune in next time for the Second Union Missionary Baptist Church radio broadcast.
KKAYT 88.1 FM, 70,000 watts of gospel power. Power beaming on the Blue Mountains of Mississippi and the flat plains of West Texas and the beaches and bayous of Louisiana. KAYT 88.1 FM.
Welcome. This is Telling of His Goodness Ministry broadcast. I'm evangelist and author Brenda Randall. We are praying that this broadcast will uplift and inspire you as you tune into the message for today. The scripture reading is Psalms 27:13-14. Read, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord.
My God is good.
To know what your strengths are, know what your weaknesses are. And if there's an area in your life as being a mother that you find that you're not coming up to that area, begin to ask God. Because as the Lord was dealing with me, I was thinking about how everything, some things that we do, some hobbies that we do, have license. We get a marriage license when we're married. We have a driver's license to drive a car. And my son, who likes to fish, he can't fish unless he has a fishing license. And even the dogs, they have papers on the dog, pedigree. But when we have our children, they don't give us papers. They don't give us a manual. They just turn us loose with these innocent babies. They sent us home and they said, congratulations, they give us like a little booklet and say, okay, by 6 weeks they should do this, by so many months they should be at this stage, and no manual. But we have, once I found out that I would tell my children, the Lord put mothers in my path so that I could have some help. Because I grew up from a broken home, and I didn't have an example of a mother and a father in the house together. So I had God put godly examples in my way, whether I wanted to hear it or not. He put godly examples. Mother Toni Johnson, Mother Mary Carter. We went to school together, but they had their children before me. Their children went through the teen stages, so they could tell me about how to raise my children. And when they started telling me, my children were toddlers. They were out of control. I had two at that time, so I won't point to see, we'll tell y'all which one were out of control, because I let them stay up as long as they wanted to stay up. They would stay up just as late as we stayed up. They were still running and playing and jumping and carrying on. And one day, my friends told me, you need to put those children on a schedule. You need to set some boundaries for them. They need to go to bed. They don't need to stay up, even if they're not sleepy. I said, well, they're not sleeping, and they just cry and they do all of that. Put them to bed anyway. So she gave me a time. I'm like, okay. She said, if you don't need that time, if they don't need to sleep, you need that time. At 8 o'clock, they was in bed, whether they were asleep or not. They had to, okay, you've had your bath, you've eaten, you've had your bath, now it's time to go to bed. So we have to begin to train our children. And this comes with taking time with our children. Praise the Lord. Like I said, we don't have a manual. They didn't give us play-by-play of what to do when we raised our children. Praise the Lord. God could have developed a system in which we would have been cloned as adult replicas of our parents. No childhood, no mess with growing up. But God had a better idea. He conceived of a plan by which we would enter the world as babies, grow up through the joys of childhood, learn how to rely on others, and see the world through eyes of simple faith before taking on the world as adults. Childhood should be a special time of delight when the world seems fresh, carefree, and simple. The miracle of growth is in a special concept from God. And those who participate with their children in this miracle are the richer for it. God planned childhood not merely for the child, but also for the parent. Praise the Lord. And I just thank God for that. I want you to turn with me to 2 Timothy 1. And I'm going to be flipping, so you might want to write this scripture down. 2 Timothy 1 and 5, I want to read that. When I call to remembrance the unfinished faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Praise the Lord. Paul is admonishing Timothy. He see the faith that's in him, because Paul was instrumental in his mother and his grandmother being saved years before he was there. Praise the Lord. And Lois, which was the maternal grandmother of Timothy. And so you see how she was his grandmother. Eunice was his mother. Timothy's mother was the daughter of Lois. So we're seeing that her faith was passed on to her daughter, my daughter, who is now training her children, bringing her children to church so that her children will have a foundation. He this. Now, there's mothers that, some mothers don't have any girls, they just have sons. But if you would turn over to Proverbs 31, you can just read that in your spare time. But as mothers of sons, how the mother shares her faith with her son and shares her advice, her parental training, parental how to raise their children, our son and our daughter-in-law, with their daughter, passing the faith on. You know, because when God saves us, he don't save us just for ourselves. He wants us to be examples. He wants us to share the faith. That's how the church grows, by us going out, by us telling others. And as Sister Sanders was talking about, how much greater by you living it in your house. So when your children see you living it, that you are not bringing Jody in the back door, even if you're a single parent, when circumstances change and you are a divorcee or a single parent, they don't see you compromising with the devil. But they see you standing on the word of God and letting them know that God will bring you out. God will provide for you. That you don't have to bow to the enemy. The word of God is here. I'm telling you myself, my experience, I didn't have the training because my mother had seven of us. Seven, so she had to work from early when it was still dark. I mean, this is my tongue. When it was still dark in the morning, she left home. When she came home, it was dark. So we were there. Our grandmother came in when she was much older. She was there in the house with us. But it wasn't the fact that, come here, girl, let me teach you how to cook. Come here, girl, let me teach you how to make up this bed. It wasn't that. We was all fending for ourselves. So that's why I know God has a purpose and a plan for my life. And I thank him for it. And I thank God for the experience. I know how to be a bad mother. And I thank God that he trained me how to be a good mother. That it don't take all of the screaming. And you know, I had to practice on DeAndrea. Because I wasn't a mother. So, you know, the first whoopings, she got them. And then Nita was always quiet, but DeAndrea was always doing stuff. So, you know, yeah, they all know that we live in a glass house, so I always use them as examples. Daniel got plenty whoopings, plenty. I was always at the school because Miss Solomon and I had to pray and seek God. I was whooping so much, Trina, that I was, oh Lord, this boy getting big now. You know, and God had to teach us how to be a parent to him. But even when he was 18, I still tried to beat him. I still tried to beat him, even though I had to go in the room and fall out and, you know, like, ooh, Jesus. You know, but I was determined that I was running my own house. And I just thank God for knowing that he will help you when you need help. He is our helper. He is our provider. He is our protector. He is our teacher. And he has given us a mandate to teach our children in Deuteronomy 6. When he said in Deuteronomy 6 and 7, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up.